I'd like to write something on the board. I wrote part of a verse. It's found in Psalms, the 46th chapter. And maybe we can go there. I think about us humans and what we deal with in life. Life isn't always a bed of roses. Life isn't always easy. In fact, it seldom is. There are times, of course, that everything seems to be going right and going well, and we're happy. Sometimes we're happy because we mean to be. Sometimes we have to learn to deal with adversities of life. I can look at so many things around me and want to change every one of them, and I have to reconcile with the fact that I can't change everything around me. But one thing I do have jurisdiction over, and that's my own soul. The Lord has given each one of us the right, the ability, and the responsibility to take care of my own soul. We have a choice many times when we face reverses, adversity. We have a choice how I'm going to react. You know, the nation, when I look at the nation and choices that are being made in this society, there's a lot of things I would change. And oh, sometimes, yes, I do wish for a time when the nation, especially the men of the nation, would stand up in godly virtue and honor to God. I look for that time. I pray for that. And one of the greatest things the Lord has given you and I to share the commodity, the tool that the Lord has given you and I to help the world around us is genuine love. Truly caring for our neighbor. Truly showing Christ to the world. It's done. This is a faith that works by love. This is a faith that has the strength, all the power that comes by genuine love. It changes lives. It changes my life. I remember back when I was a young man that had hardened my heart for various reasons, but I had grown hard. And come to the place that I could listen to a message. You could talk about hell all you wanted to. You could make it real to my mind. And I had an answer to that. I had a coldness in my heart. I had a defense against that. The fear wouldn't move me. But I had no defense when God said, "I love you." I said, "Really? You can't, because I can't love me." And I want to tell you, love has a strength that goes way beyond fear or hate or any other influence of the world. So the greatest thing we have to share that really portrays Christ is genuine love. And it's a love that's not just saying everything. Some people can almost get in their mind that love is a permissive thing that allows anything to go. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a love that calls us to God's righteous way in such gentle tones and wins our heart to the place that I say, "Amen, Lord, you're right. And I want to learn to walk beside you." God is our refuge. I would first want to explore a little bit. I want to apply this. You know, many times when we think about God being our refuge, we think about a God that is just going to come on the scene and wrap us in His arms and just protect us from all that's around us. Sometimes God doesn't do that. He does wrap us in His arms and He does shield us in many ways. But sometimes the Lord allows us to be confronted with bad things in life. And you say, "Surely this good, loving God won't do that." God gives people the right to choose good or evil. And when people around us choose evil, we're going to be affected by it. Remember when Jeremiah prophesied to the children of Israel? He said, "You go down there, you're going to go into captivity. You're going to go for 70 years into captivity. And the reason why they went into captivity is because they had turned away from the Lord. Had all of them turned away from the Lord? Jeremiah hadn't. But he suffered right along with them. Because of the evil. When we as a nation, when people turn away from the Lord, we suffer as a group. Perhaps not of your own evil, but because we live amongst it. There are some evil things happen to individuals. There's all kinds of horrible things can happen in a person's life. And be careful that we don't blame God for all of it. Does God allow us? Yes, He allows people to choose. He allows people to choose you this day whom you will serve. He allows us to choose good and evil. Therefore, choose life. It's in the Scripture that way, isn't it? So therefore, when we are confronted with an injustice, and all, isn't it something about our own character? When we see an injustice, there's something that wants to rise up within me and say, this can't go on. It's got to come to an end. And it's okay to feel like that needs to stop. But be careful in that sense of justice that we have, that we don't let it go over into carnal expression. The carnality. You know, there's a reason why Charlie Kirk was killed. Somebody had carnality in their heart. Somebody had evil in their heart. And they let that happen. And that's only one incident that's prominent in our minds today. You know, there's a lot of other things that are bad that can happen in not just collectively, but in our individual lives. And then we are confronted with, how do I deal with injustices of life that maybe been perpetrated on me? We can observe people in our world around us that sometimes get so invested in the sense that something must be done. And I'm not opposed to justice. Don't get me wrong here. But let me tell you how crippling my carnality can be. If I get so insistent that things have to be done my way, there has to be some retribution. I need to find somebody to affix blame to. I must point my finger and say, here, you're wrong. And they may be wrong. But be careful what kind of carnality is building in my soul. Because when I start investing in that to that degree, I find before very long, it may start small, but I'm starting to wear a ball and chain. I'm starting to be anchored to a place that God never intended for us to be anchored to, that place in my life. And I'm crippled. I can't fly free. I can't. Sometimes the devil would love to get this in our heart, in our bosom, that somebody years ago perhaps did an actual injustice to us. And the devil would like to get us captivated with bars around us, that I can't see hope, that I can't see freedom, that I'm always tied to the horrible things that happened to me in the past. I want to tell you today, Christ has something better for us. It's not with meanness that He looks at us in a case like that and says, child, take up your cross. Lay it down. Lay down what you're carrying. A weight that does so easily beset us. Lay it down. Fly free. God is our refuge. I want us to think about this scripture perhaps a little differently than what we may have thought about it in the past. At least I have thought about it in the past, that I just run into the Lord and everything's cozy and right there. And there is that aspect of the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you, run to the Lord and feel His comfort. There is another place that we can run to Him. When I have come to the realization that I am carrying something in my soul that shouldn't be carried, that is doing damage to my soul, the devil has gotten me bound to a place, and it may be true, everything, maybe somebody did do us badly, maybe something did happen horribly to me in my past life. Maybe I am carrying, and folks, grief. We should embrace the proper type of grief. And when my mother passed away in that house fire, you know I like songs. You know I love coming here and singing these songs of Zion. But I want to tell you how I felt for a while. I about couldn't sing. I told somebody, I said, this has taken my song. And the Lord whispered His loving. He said, I'm your refuge. You know, we can take those things to the Lord. I'm not saying we won't find a certain time of difficulty that we're going through, because we will. But there's answers to it. There's hope. And I'm not here to ask any of us to deny the grief we go through. Please, when we deal with something, this is sensitive. I too, we all experience grief, and we should embrace it. But don't let the devil steal it to the point that you are crippled the rest of your life. There is a city. There is a hope. There's a place we're going to. I would like to read some more. We don't always know how to handle strong disappointment, sorrow, or injustice, but we can decide which way we plan to be going after we come through. We can decide what I'm going to do. Sometimes when we are confronted with a hard disappointment and feel like that, perhaps, wasn't it Paul said he had perils, different kinds of perils, but perils among brethren, didn't he say it that way? There were some that amongst those that he felt like he could trust, and now somehow trust seemed to be violated in his mind, and this was a deep hurt. You remember one time when Barnabas, you know what Barnabas meant? It's a son of consolation. Brother Barnabas seemed like, you know, after Brother Paul had, you know, his name was Saul at that point, he had been struck down on the road to Damascus, and he had was confronted with he had been so wrong before, and now here he is having to admit, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he said, Lord. And he had to wrestle with all his preconceived ideas that he'd been so entrenched in the past, and he had to empty that out before the Lord. Lord, this changes everything. And he wrestled with that change, and the Lord had mercy on him. The Lord brought him to a place of refuge in the Lord. Not in the things of his past, the things he had cared about back then. But after Paul had that experience, and another place it says, he straightway preached Christ, went in to this, I forget where that place was right now, but he went in there and began to preach Christ, and people got stirred. There was a lot of people hearing this, and they didn't know hardly what to do. Isn't this the man that used to persecute us? And the Jewish people there was conflict really happening, and they said, Brother Paul, you're going to need to go. And I think that's where they let him down over the city wall in a basket, and and he went back home. What does he do? I had this encounter with the Lord, and it burns in my soul, and I know now that Jesus is Lord, and what do I do with this? And I'm over here hanging out in Tarsus, and they told me to leave. Then there came a man by the name of Barnabas, son of Consolation, and came over there, and the Lord brought him into the ministry that we know today. But in that process, the point I'm wanting to show here, there was a time that I believe had to pass through of not knowing what was going on. But he had it settled that how he was going to come out on the other side. I'm still going to serve my Lord. And I would encourage us today to have it settled in the midst of whatever disappointments, whatever injustice, whatever thing that we are encountering in our lives, have it settled as you're going into it and going through it. Have it settled how you're going to come out on the other side. I'm still going to serve the Lord. That much is settled. I don't understand what's going on right now. And it seems so unjust. It seems so wrong. And here I'm the brunt of it. And I'm dealing with this. And what do I do with it? Well, you can get anger. You can have bitterness and wrath and all those things we can get a hold of. I want to tell you, it'll hurt us if we do. It'll hurt us. God is our refuge. I would like to read. I would also remind us here that Jesus looked at the people around him, and he said, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. You're not going to escape it. Won't do it. And about right now, you say, but read the rest of it. Because the rest of it says, the Lord's going to get them. It does say something like that. Because Jesus said, woe to that one by whom the offense has come. Been better if a millstone been hanged around his neck. Jesus did say that. But he also said, vengeance is mine, I shall repay. I will repay, saith the Lord. This is where it comes from. It's not give place to wrath is what. Remember that verse? Give place. That doesn't mean invest in wrath. That doesn't say, let yourself become wrathful. That rather means this, that we yield. If somebody's going to be wrathful, back away from it. Back away from it. Give place. Don't allow that to become part of us. Because I'm afraid if we live in that land, we will not find God to be our refuge because we're outside of God's blessing there. God would have us allow Him to work out things in our lives even when we have offenses. Well, many times we want to find somebody to blame or some way to be angry. Sometimes we feel so devastated that even in the whatever it is I'm going through, it doesn't seem, the devil would like to say that there's no place of hope past where I am. I'm going to read now some of this. Psalms, the 46th chapter. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Do you believe that? You don't have to say it out loud, but I hope you're saying amen in your heart. Yea, Lord, I believe you. He's our refuge, a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar. Seems like, you know, this is poetic language, but it's describing turmoil, describing fear, describing things that we are confronted with. Though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Think about it. This moment when it seemed like catastrophe is all around. Can I then say, Lord, I run into you. God is my refuge. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. I know this is a verse that many of us are well acquainted, a passage that many of us are well acquainted with, but that stream still exists. That place of feeding, that place of drinking at the fountain of the Lord is still there. And maybe we could, metaphorically, you know, we could say there perhaps a stream back there. But I want to tell you today, that stream comes down from the throne of God Himself, down to you and I through His Son, through the enlivening force of God's Holy Spirit that has been bequeathed to you and I. This all is ours. There is a stream that makes glad the city of God. There is something that comes down from God. God is our refuge, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. You know, one of the things that my aunt, and folks, her case was difficult there at the end. She had cancer and bone cancer. Her right arm had broken. Her ribs had broken. Her hip had broken. All this, you would think that somebody in that case, she had some pain, don't get me wrong, but you would think that somebody in that case would have excruciating pain that couldn't be dealt with. The Lord dulled that. I'm not saying she didn't have pain, she did. God was her refuge. Just was. The Lord, there is a stream. There is a fountain. There is something that God provides. And in the midst, when it seems like all around has crumbled, and it seems like that the turmoil is big, I don't know what to do with this massive trouble I find myself in, God is our refuge. He's our strength. Whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be an inner battle that you're struggling with and you can't tell anybody else, whether it's depression, whether whatever seems to be coming upon your spirit right now, I want to tell you, let me tell you with great confidence that God is our refuge, our present help in time of trouble. There is a stream that makes glad the city of God. I'm not asking you to deny the pain or the difficulty or act like no, that's not where it is. God is an honest God. We have troubles. But He said, in those troubles, I'll be there. We have choices of where we're going to go in our troubles. I can invest in my own anger. I can invest in my own self-pity, that can happen too. There's all kinds of things that would come in to try to steal that place that God wants us to be able to enter in of peace with the Lord. The devil would like to take us away from that until I can't have hope. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. I'll tell you, there have been more than one time I've quoted that to the Lord. So, Lord, you said you'd help us in that right early, and it sure seems late to me. What do you do with that? You still trust. You still rested in the Lord. The Lord's timing is good. The heathen rage. The kingdoms were moved. A lot of things perhaps that we could trust in. All our my ability of, you know, when I was younger, I would think that I can confront things a lot in my in my hard-headedness and my strength and my youthful zeal and my ability to muscle through and to pass through things either mentally or emotionally or physically. I could confront it and feel certain confidence. I don't have that anymore. I've gotten older. I don't have that same type, except I have a confidence in the Lord that is so much stronger than what it was in myself back then. I found myself, I failed myself. All that time in my youth when I was leaning to my own understanding and leaning to my own strength, it failed me. But any time that I've been able to rest myself in the Lord, there's a peace that goes beyond this that I build up in my own strength. There's something greater than that. And I'm not accusing any of you if you're dealing with life, with your own things that you're... God wants us to give our efforts, but be careful that we don't feel like we don't handle life in our own, because it'll overwhelm you. God is our refuge, not you, not me. God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. May the Lord help us, each one, to learn how to rest in Him. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Think about that one. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation He hath made in the earth. What authority that He wields. When He speaks against something, what can they do but obey? He maketh wars to cease. Quite frankly, I'd like to see some wars in our world cease now. Wars out there? Yes, indeed. You know, the greatest war that each one of us faces, though, is that in our own soul. Lord, cause the war to cease. You know, the victory in this spiritual realm, especially, should be defined as when the enemy's not fighting anymore. Don't get me wrong, we're always going to be confronted. But he's done. He's beaten. That's victory. Now when I find myself resting in the Lord, there's victory. You remember, I would remind us of an example in the Old Testament, and I forget what king it was. I'm not going to name a name because I'm not sure which one it was. One of the kings in the Old Testament had a great army come against him and had great demands against. And I hope I'm not going to mix up two memories or stories. Wrote a letter exacting great things, horrible things from them. And he spread out this letter before the Lord and said, Lord, we don't know what to do with this great might that's before us, this army. But our eyes are on you. And I think it may have been that same incident. I'm not sure. You can correct me. But at least there was another incident, if not that one, where a prophet stood up and said, this is what the Lord's saying. You won't have to fight in this one. And he said, set singers before. I've wondered sometimes how that group of singers felt having to be out in the front of the battle. But what they were doing, they were praising the Lord, the holiness of their God. They went out there with joy in their heart, praising the Lord. And as they went singing, the Lord set ambushments, is that how they say? I know that may have been another. But the Lord took care of the problem. They didn't have to fight. I know it's normal for us humans to feel like I've got to figure out how this injustice has to be righted, and this is how we've got to do it. Sometimes I just need to rest in the Lord. I need to take it to Him and say, Lord, I don't know. I don't have any might against this great thing in front of me. But I'm going to rest in You. I'm going to trust in You, and I'm going to ask of Your wisdom and Your direction and Your help in my life. Because I want to make heaven at the end of this. I want to come out on the other side of this without the ball and chain on my ankle. I want to walk free when I get from. I don't want to have guilt on my soul. He makes wars to cease. Unto the end of the earth, he breaks the bow. He cuts the spear asunder. He burns the chariots in fire. Be still and know that I am God. Has that ever cut through the noise in your head? A still small voice that comes and just says, calm down. Wait on me. Put yourself in my arms. God is our refuge. He's our strength. Very present help in time of trouble. Be quiet, child. Hank, just wait. Don't let the devil put you in this box. Don't let the devil chain you here. Wait on me. Rest in me. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Think about that one. Let that sink in. Understand what that means. I would like to quickly go on. Thinking about David, who over in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, we have an account. You remember when David was with his men and went out to war, and this was before he was really king, functioning as king, but he was ruler, had a lot of men that was following him. And he went out, and while they were gone, you know what happened? The enemy came in and took the city where he was staying and stole all the women and the children and took them away. And the men came back and they saw this carnage and they wanted somebody to blame. Isn't that human? And they said, David, you made some bad decisions and now our family's all gone. Our children, they've been taken and I don't know, perhaps killed and misused. All this is horrible. And they found somebody to blame. You know, David's family was taken too. He was grieving. He felt horrible. And so what do? In Samuel, the 30th chapter, 6th verse, and David was greatly distressed. Can you blame him? Have you ever felt greatly distressed? If you haven't yet, you likely will if you live much longer. You're going to have times of feeling distressed. And this says David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. They felt broken hearted. This shouldn't have happened. This is unjust. This is wrong. We've got to do something about it. And David, you're the one. You led us out there and you got us into this trouble. You should have somehow protected our family back there. Soul of the people was grieved. Every man for his sons, his daughters. And the last part of that verse says, David encouraged himself in his God. I don't think it was easy. I think he had to intentionally turn off all the voices that was around him that was saying, stone David. I think he had to turn off the natural grief that he was feeling. I think he put this verse into practice when he says, God is our refuge. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He went back. I don't know. I don't know what may have well happened. I don't know. But I like to think perhaps David may have slipped off into a tent or somewhere to be alone and just said, Lord, I am so needy right now. Lord, I'm in trouble for what? All kinds of reasons. My heart is broken. My family's gone. And these men who have followed me have given them, and they're brokenhearted. And you hear them wanting to take me. I understand that, but Lord, come and help us. Come and do something. And it said, the Lord, David encouraged himself in the Lord. I want to encourage us. I want to give instruction, perhaps, or give counsel, maybe I should say it that way. That when we are in those places of greatest distress, don't move too quickly unless it's toward the closet of prayer. Run there and say, God, I don't get it. It's okay to tell him that. But Lord, my eyes are on you. I need your help. There was an account, and there's different accounts in the scripture about people going through hard places and gaining victory in it. Over in Luke, the 24th chapter, you don't need to turn there. I won't try to read too much of it. Luke, the 24th chapter, we have an account of two disciples. It's not important about which ones of the disciples it was, because we don't really know. We have some thoughts of perhaps who they may have been. That's hard to prove. But two disciples had been in Jerusalem when all those events had happened, that when they put Jesus on the cross, when they so ill-used him. And when I think of the example that was set before us, Jesus himself went through the greatest of injustices that there could have been. And he found the love in his heart in the midst of that. I didn't say it's easy either, because he did go to the Garden of Gethsemane and he begged his Father, Lord, is there any other way? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And after being spit upon, after being beaten mercilessly, after having his hair plucked out and having a crown of thorns, mocking crown of thorns, when none of that he deserved. And he hung on the cross with a mocking sign above him. And he looked down on the mocking Jews and perhaps Romans that was down below him. And he said, Father, forgive them. Folks, I want to tell you, that took something. And I say to myself in life, it's so much easier to hate, isn't it? It's so much easier to give over to hate. But it's so much harder in the long run. Because once we do, we're going to find that ball and chain around our ankles. And it'll hurt us bad. Love is stronger than hate, and because love was hanging on the cross that day, he looked down in mercy and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so that is the one that these two disciples were going back to Emmaus after being there and seeing all this happen, and their hopes had been great that this would be the Christ, their Messiah. And they didn't believe it anymore. If they did, they were really wrestling with it. We had hoped he would be. In past tense, we had hoped. And they were going back home brokenhearted. What do you do with this? You know, I can't accuse them because I would have been going back home feeling the same way, I believe. I think I'd have been brokenhearted. Went back home, going back home. And as they were going, trudging along, headed back home, there came a man. Perhaps their steps were slow because they were pondering and maybe talking about, what do you do about that? You know, we saw him die. He's in the grave. And they killed him. That was our Messiah. We believe that. I don't know. I'm confused in my mind. I don't know what to do with it. What was that, though, when the sun was darkened and the... What was that? The earth shook. What do we make of that? We had hoped he was. But he's dead. He's in the grave. What do I do? And they wrestled with that as they was going down the road. Perhaps a trudging step. And there came one alongside and said, what are y'all talking about? I said, you didn't hear, you don't know. Have you just recently come around? There are some big things happening right back here in Jerusalem. And he began to talk with them. He said, this is what was supposed to happen. Oh, no, it don't feel right at all. No, it shouldn't. And that really shouldn't happen. But these people were dealing with disappointment. They were dealing with the sense of injustice. They were dealing with great disappointment and wonderment in their mind, feeling like surely this is all wrong. What I used to believe in, I can't anymore. Things have changed. And there came somebody walking along beside them that they didn't perceive. And he kept walking with them till they got to their house. And they said, come and stay with us tonight. When they got ready to eat, Jesus prayed for the food. They said, I've heard that voice before. He said, he is alive. I want to ask us today, in the places we find ourselves in life, where it seems like the very foundation I've been standing on has been moved, I want to ask us to go back and hear that voice that says, God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He's still God. He still knows how to break bread in the presence of our enemies. He still knows how to cause our cup to flow over. I believe those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when they got through, when they saw, when they heard that prayer and their eyes were open and they knew who they'd been walking with. It sounds like Jesus was caught out of their presence and they did. But they were so enlivened and excited. They went running back to Jerusalem. And it sounds like it wasn't an easy walk back. But their trudging step, I believe, had changed. Oh, hope had risen. It would not have arisen if they would have been saying, I'm going to get even with those folks. I hate that. I'll find a way. Oh, yes, I'm going to. The Lord will give me strength and I'm going to beat him one of these days. That's not the spirit of Christ. But there is one that we can flow, we can go into the Lord. The God is our refuge. Not me, not my wit, not my determination, though God would have us to be determined to follow him. But that alone cannot do it. I can't lean to my own understanding and believe that in my own strength. I can't. I must lean toward the Lord. God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in trouble. Now I want to talk to us just a little bit this morning. Sometimes when we wrestle with places in our life, it's more comfortable to stay where we are. It's more comfortable to stay invested in my little world of comfort where I've defended myself here well, and I've invested and I've learned how to not let people in my little world because I've needed. But I want to tell us today, if there's anybody here today that the devil has been successful in walling you off from the peace that the Lord has for you, there is one knocking at your door today that says, "Let me in." And it's the Prince of Peace. It's the God of love. It's the one who wants to help us break the chain. I'm not saying you're not saved. If you're not saved here today, I want you to get saved. But I'm talking about places where the devil cripples people. The Lord would have you have greater victory today. The Lord would have us have greater victory. And if the devil has got us camped over here in a corner, I want to invite you this morning. Come and let the Lord turn you loose. Set you free. I want to invite you to come to this altar of prayer and say, "God, I need help." Doesn't mean you're unsaved if you come here this morning, but it does mean you're wanting help from God. These are good places and good times to get victory over the devil. God is our refuge. We might stand and sing a song.